The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
All right. Welcome back. So, in terms of curiosity, I'm going to use these words interchangeably: curiosity, investigation, discerning, distinguishing. Distinguishing and discerning. There are different ways. There are different ways to relate to this factor of Dhamma Vicaya. And really, the first and foremost thing I want to do as we actually practice together is to make you realize how familiar this actually is in your own experience, and not something that you need to learn for the first time. You already have it. So in ways to consider is the sense of curiosity, investigation, knowing, discernment, wanting to know in your own life. So there are many ways that in practice they can be this factor will be applied, and I'll give some instructions and suggestions. But I'm thinking what would be really helpful actually first is to have an interactive exercise, and actually getting you to think and reflect on ways that curiosity just shows up in your life, so that it's much more intimate than you realize. It's actually, you have it in different ways. It shows up every time you check the weather. There's a sense of curiosity. There's a sense of interest. It's just so to make it more familiar in your own self, instead of just hearing it. So what I suggest is we get into groups of four or five, what we'll do is called a spiral. So the spiral is one person will say something. So the prompt is, give an example of how you relate, how curiosity, investigation, discernment comes up in your life, how you relate to it in your own experience. An example in your life, or how you relate to it, or just something intimate. What does it conjure up when you think of investigation, curiosity? Whatever word works for you. You don't have to use my word, but whatever the sense of openness and wanting to know, maybe it's just a gesture in your body. Maybe you just feel it in your body. Maybe there's no words that you even put on it. Just sense of openness, interest. How does it show up? Where does it show up for you? How do you relate to it in your experience, so that you realize it's much more available than something out there? It's actually here. You come up with examples from your own life. Just like feel it in your body. So my hope is, as you have this conversation, you start to actually feel it in your body. It's not just a heady thing, this concept of curiosity, investigation. You actually feel this openness in your body. You relate to it more viscerally. So the exercise is, one person will say how you relate, something about interest, curiosity, investigation that comes up for you as you think about it. And then the next person will say something little, like just one nugget, not a long monologue, just a nugget. And the next person will share one nugget. And then the fourth person will share a nugget. And then person number one, inspired based on what you heard from the other three person, something else might have just come up for you. Oh yeah, I relate to it this way. This is how. So you just kind of go in a spiral. So each person will share one nugget. Does that make sense about the format and about the content, about the topic? Yeah? Okay. So I invite you to get into groups of four or five. Let's see if we're divisible today by... actually, we're divisible by four. It's perfect. And if you came here with someone, be in a different group so that you get to hear different voices. And it's best to be on the same level. Please be on the same level, either all on a chair or all on the floor.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. Your conversation. So, what did you discover? It was pretty lively. What did you guys discover? The mic is there. Especially if you haven't spoken yet, please. Over there, back there's the rat.
Our group's is this on? Yeah. Okay. Our group's conversation was wide ranging, covering things from it can be difficult to be curious about things or experiences or physical feelings or emotions to which we are averse.
Ah.
That was one kind of theme that arose, and another was how to be curious without being judgmental.
Yeah.
In fact, even how you frame the questions can lead to one kind of response or another. I read an interesting book some years ago called Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And we're asking each other questions all the time, as you pointed out. You know, is it going to rain today? Should I take a raincoat? Do I have enough gas in the car to get there? And questions like, how could I be so stupid, or how could you be so stupid, are not productive.
Right.
And I've even found that framing, if I haven't had enough sleep, if I frame the question of how am I going to survive the day, leads to a different response than how can I thrive today? Especially, you know, how can I thrive under these particular circumstances?
Yeah.
So it's the non-judgmental curiosity, I think, is is helpful.
Lovely.
And I'll be delighted for anybody in our group to add anything else about themes they saw emerge.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having brought up the how of the looking, you know, the way the question is asked. How the question is asked, how it's phrased, and the nature of the looking is as important as the looking itself. Yeah, yeah, wonderful. Yeah, great, thank you. Whoever else wants to add from your group or anybody else, this is great. Please, please.
So also in our group, we talked about, I guess, two other things. One is the sense of needing time to be curious, both in our busy schedule or, you know, even just moments, but needing some moments and time to be curious. And then the other is the way that curiosity can lead you to feel more open or generate a lot of joy, depending on kind of what you're being curious about, I suppose. But So both the time and the possibility for openness and joy around curiosity.
Nice. Great. Very rich. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And also, one thing that comes up for me is there are many different things to be curious about and different ways to be curious about, as we'll discuss later. But this is a great opening for me to bring this in right now. Which is, there is taking time away to ask yourself the important questions about your life, for example. You know, sitting with the questions, to really have time to simmer, to swim, to just kind of take time to be in a questioning place without necessarily needing the answers, but just sitting with the questions. There is that mode. You need time. There is also the mode of in the daily life, when things are happening in the midst of it, being curious in the midst of it. Oh, what's happening right now? Oh, I'm upset. It's sadness underneath the being upset. Oh, that's what's really happening right now. Oh, and what? Okay, what's the right thing to do? Should I scream this other person's head off? No, actually, that's not the right thing to do. You know, the right thing. So in real time, which again, through practice, it becomes more accessible to have the curiosity in real time. So I just want to point out these two different modes of taking time for reflection, for curiosity, and in the like bringing it in like the salt in water, it kind of diffusing it like, oh, what's happening right now? So we'll do an exercise later with that. So and regarding this mode of living the questions, I want to share with you this is a perfect time to bring in this beautiful quote from Rilke, which is, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and to try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are written in the very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given to you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answers. I love that quote. It's about living and loving the questions themselves. Just this process of sitting with questions, just sitting with the openness of curiosity. So thank you for that, the opportunity for me to bring this in. What else did you notice in your conversations about curiosity, investigation, interest? Yes, please.
Hi.
Hi.
So in our group, we were talking about like being curious about difficult things also, and whether that's somebody who feels irritating outside of us or something difficult within ourselves, something. And so I noticed that unless there's a sense of safety first, there's this basic safety, then it's hard to be curious, it's hard to look. So to bring in compassion, and somebody mentioned kindness, that's very important, along with the curiosity.
So what I hear you say, one aspect of it is that, especially in difficult places, with difficult interactions, difficult places of the heart, and especially if it's interactive, safety is needed in order to have that interactive curiosity to then be supported. So actually the the same way that with the seven factors, when you're practicing and having curiosity for yourself, you know, having curiosity about the phenomena, the other six factors supported, maybe in the interactive domain with curiosity, there needs to be safety and compassion and care in order to support that opening to deeper investigation. Did I capture that more or less? Yeah. Great. Thank you. What else, please?
I'll just add to that. I actually didn't bring this up earlier, but one of the things I'm trying to open my mind a little bit to is also investigation with someone else holding the space for me. Because I think some of the things worth investigating are the things that are hard. Yeah. And sometimes looking on your own is not as supportive as looking with someone who provides some safety and some support. So, and I've always been like, this is my personal internal process. Like, I'm not telling anybody this, but I have actually found like when I'm comfortable enough with someone, like doing that with someone else is really helpful.
Yeah.
And then you find out, you know, it's not so unusual or different than everybody else.
Right.
Like, right.
Right, right, exactly. And there's also really a power in being held witness by another human being. It's powerful. It seems like the light of awareness that gets shown upon this internal process becomes doubled. There's both your own light and then another person's light. And just even if they're saying nothing, they're just holding witness and you're just speaking yourself. it shifts the dynamics. It's really powerful. Yeah.
I think the key is choosing wisely who that's done with, depending on, you know, how sensitive the issue is. But yeah. So is it okay if I ask a question now too?
Sure,
I think aversion came up a lot while we were talking, and that's definitely also, it is hard to investigate when it's something maybe uncomfortable or something that, you know, engender some aversion.
Yeah.
And I know that the kind of the obvious answer would be to bring compassion or bring kindness to it. But are there other techniques that you could use?
Yeah. I mean, what comes up for me is, you know, aversion is just aversion. it's not going to kill you. It's just aversion. So we so try to avoid it. But becoming okay with not being okay. It's the equanimity aspect, right? I'm really appreciating this, which you brought in, and also I think you, the first person who spoke also brought it in the beginning too, with this aversion, something that's difficult and not wanting to get into it, and how really this is a perfect example of how these seven factors don't necessarily work in order. They support each other totally out of order. Right? So if you have equanimity, like, oh, it's just aversion. Okay, can I be curious about this now? Can I open up to it and get to understand and know it some more? The same way that if you have curiosity, for example, it can also strengthen your mindfulness. Like, you get to, like, know it. You get to be more aware, more intimate with the experience. So they support each other out of order. So coming back to your point with the uncomfortable or the aversive, it's just aversion. It's just aversion. It's just unpleasant. I mean, really, aversion comes from the unpleasant vedana, unpleasant feeling tone. It's just unpleasant. Being comfortable with being uncomfortable, or becoming friendly with the unpleasant. Yeah, thanks for bringing that in. Yes.
Yeah, the three of us were in the same group, but four of us. So actually, as I listen to you, I realize, like, okay, my attitude towards aversion is that, like, I don't like it. I want to decrease it. And, like, you know, there's that attitude of even if I'm able to watch it, there's a sense of, like, oh, I just want it to go away because it feels bothersome. It feels tight in my body. It feels uncomfortable. So it's hard for me to get to that point that you just – that place where you just mentioned where it's like, oh, it's just aversion.
Yeah,
I'm not there. It's hard for me to be there, you know. But I appreciate that perspective, because it's like, oh, that's something to work towards. Like, if I could get to that place, that'd be great.
Yes. Yeah. So great. I appreciate you bringing this in. So let's let me offer a step, a practice, right? How, like, the stepping stones. So as you're saying, you described it really beautifully and really well, that when you turn your mind to it, you notice your body is tight. You know, there's aversion, you don't want to get into it, it's uncomfortable, your body's tight. Great. That you notice your body's tight, that's the first thing. That's the very first thing. So can you relax your body just a little bit? Just take a breath. Just drop your attention, your awareness a little deeper. Just relax so that there is more space to hold the awareness, the aversion. So that you can actually be with it. It doesn't have to go away, but actually relaxing around the aversion gives it a little more space. And this is something to experiment with, actually, in your practice when you're sitting in silence, maybe. What comes up for you now?
Yeah, and even just, you know, as I'm kind of doing it as doing it along with you, like, what I notice is, like, as, because there's a resistance to relaxing, but once that happens just a little bit, like, I feel this underlying anxiety, or like you could even call it fear. Like right now there's nothing to be afraid of, but yeah. there is that like underlying something, like just this feeling of insecurity that's kind of underneath.
That
is revealed once the tightness kind of relaxes a bit. So
great. Wonderful. That's progress already. So I want to point your attention to notice how by already relaxing a little bit, there was one layer that came off. Okay, and then the level of... So there's more space to hold. Ah, I can be with this discomfort. Oh, now there's anxiety. Okay, same thing. Same problem, you know, apply as before. Ah, can there be some relaxation? Not wanting to get rid of the anxiety at all, but just relaxing around it to hold it, give it more space. Just to give it a little more space. If it's the anxiety, the fear, whatever it is, just a little more space around it. Gil likes to say, make your fear feel safe. Just a little more space. Just breathing, just a tiny bit. Realizing that there is a lot more capacity that you have. You have so much more capacity and spaciousness really available to you than this fear. Because right now, the fear or the anxiety seems like it's taking all the space. It's just everything there is. Whereas actually realizing, shifting your perspective through relaxing, realizing that oh, it's just one thing, part of this big stage. There are many, many other things. It's a huge stage. It doesn't have all the space, all the presence. So if you need to go sit in the back of the theater to see the stage in a bigger way, do that. You don't have to sit. You know, your nose is right in it right now. That's why it feels overwhelming. Step back. And you'll see there's a lot more space. Go back and sit in the back seats and relax.
Yeah, there's appreciate the perspective, the space. It's just, and then as I relax into the feeling of anxiety or the sort of jittery, kind of shaky quality of it, there is a sense of kind of tenderness. It's still uncomfortable, unpleasant, but there is a sense of tenderness and kind of more connection with the heart. So
nice. Nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was pretty amazing quick work there. Yeah, great. You have a lot more capacity than you realize. That's what I really want to get through. Oh, capacity to hold, to be with, to just a lot more space. You have a lot more space in your heart and in your mind. A lot more stability. Maybe that's another. You have a lot more stability than you realize. That's what I mean by capacity. A lot more stability. I'm sorry?
It sounds like the power to allow.
Any other reflections from when you were in the group, what it came up for you? Oh, yes, please.
We also talked about being curious about other people. Mm-hmm. And this was on two different levels. One was being curious about other people we know and wondering if we could, having the curiosity about if we could apply some of their behaviors to ourselves. For example, asking for what we need.
Right.
Gee, other people can ask for what they need. What if we try asking for what we need?
Right,
what would that
right.
be like?
Yeah.
So that was at one level, observing people we knew and being curious about it and applying it to right. ourselves. The other level was reflecting on the larger body politic at the moment and perhaps trying to be curious in exchanges with people whose views are different than ours, trying to be curious about where we could find common ground.
Yeah.
And then building from there.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks for bringing that in. Curiosity. It's the antidote to arrogance. You know, when you just assume that you know everything, it's like, oh, I don't know. Let me see it from this other perspective.
And now I'm curious about some of the other groups.
That's right. I'm also curious about the instruction that I keep giving, the invitation to feel curiosity in your body, this investigation. What does it feel like as a lived-in experience? What does it feel like? Are you passing it on or are you... Oh, yeah. I thought you were speaking. Oh, you're passing it on. So, please. Anyone want to share about your... I see your hand wants to go up. Yes. It was...
I shared with our group that I often am aware if I'm mindful of my body, of the tightness in my chest, and that the sensation associated with curiosity is a bit of a loosening of that and a bit of a lightness in my head. I can relate to there being a bit of energy around that. So those are the two sensations that I shared. And then just kind of reflecting on things that were said in our group, I feel like we kind of came to this recognition of the difference between the way you put it was sitting with the question, having that light investigation, curiosity, but that it can easily lead to a clinging to wanting to know the answer and to thoughts about the why behind the sensation.
Right,
and
right.
So it felt like all of us kind of had a bit of a aha around that difference.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Great. Thank you for that. Nice. Yes, next to you.
I shared this the group, and some people, I think, also were curious about it. But I'm deeply curious to, like, how do you truly internalize things that you know you should internalize? Like, how do you let go when, like, you know, yeah, I know, I'm crazy, aren't I? You know, how do you go, that was kind of an epiphany. I finally got it. For example, I'm super concerned about my 30-year-old's finances, but he's 30. And it's just like, okay, he's 30. You know, do you understand that? Do you understand what boundaries mean? And it's like, yeah, I do. Oh, I wish I did. You know, it's just like, how does it percolate down into the depths of where wisdom resides? And I have so many things up here that I know very intellectually are probably unhealthy, are ridiculous, are like quirky, but I'm very interested in how you move that good common sense into a deep knowing of what to do.
Yeah. So this is great. And in some ways, I'm going to turn the question back to the topic today, because it's a matter of curiosity about, like, sitting with the question, okay, I know that my dear child is an adult. What is here? What is here right now? with curiosity about what else is here. Okay, there's fear, there's worry, or I don't know what there is for you. I'm just kind of projecting.
Yeah.
There's fear, he's not going to be okay. There's fear, there's worry. Ah, just getting to know, like really becoming intimate. So having curiosity, it's not so much pushing it down, right? It's through that curiosity. What else is here? What's under that? What's under it? Sitting with it. It's that sitting with the question. And gently, what is here? Oh, it's there. And then bringing in kindness and compassion. Like bringing kindness. Keep asking. Keep opening up in the safe space to what is happening for you. It's not about them, really. It's really about you. So opening, and keep holding what's coming up for you. Keep coming up for you. That's a way to, and keep doing it. It like once doesn't, I mean, when you see what's under it, underneath it, what's really happening in a safe space, it gets held more. And then you have to do it multiple times. It's not like you do it once and you're done until it becomes a habit of the heart. It really becomes a habit pattern. So that the next time when it comes like, their finances, like, yeah. It just becomes more readily available. It will still come up, like, their finances. Like, that question may never go away. But the response will be a different thing because it's practiced in a different way. And the way it gets practiced is through opening. What's here? Okay, can I hold this too with kindness, with compassion? Can I breathe into this? Can I relax into this more?
I'm very afraid of curiosity leading into rumination, which isn't good for me.
They're different. They are different. That's why I keep suggesting that you feel it in your body. It's not in your head. It's not in your head. Rumination is in your head. It's in your thoughts. That's why investigation, curiosity, I keep emphasizing, it's in your body. It's not a heady thing. People, it's in your body. It's not a heady thing. It's really different. It's the way Rilke says, you live the questions, you live it in your body. Does that sound like rumination? No, you live it. You drop it in. You drop it in and you let it percolate. We'll do an experiment with, we'll do something with that later. Okay. So, thank you for that. Any other comments? Yes, a couple more. So let's pass it back there before we pass. I think the person behind, yeah.
Hi. So when you was giving this little instruction in between, feel it in your body, in your bone. So when I check in into that, I noticed that the feeling, and it was interesting for me to pay attention to it, because in the past, whenever I have felt curious, I felt the same way. But today I was able to more curious about that feeling of curiosity.
Yeah.
So
great.
It was like when, how I felt in my body, if I can relate it to analogy, is when you use an elevator.
Yeah.
When you are using elevator going upstairs, and the immediate kind of, it's a feeling it from upward to
right,
downward.
Right.
To
yeah.
do something, to
right,
try
right.
something.
Uh-huh.
Or kind of a ticklish kind of feeling. So yeah, it was to do some effort to, because my mind is curious, but I like that kind of feeling always. So that's how I felt when you said that.
Interesting.
How does it feels?
Whenever yeah.
I was stepping into something curious in my mind, that same feeling was coming in my body. That
nice.
I'm using elevator and
I nice. There's a visceral sense of, yeah, nice. Great. Fun. Lovely. Thanks for sharing that reflection. Yeah. We'll make this the last one before we take a little break.
I guess kind of a question. I just was curious about your response when you commented on, but it's in the body.
Yeah.
So I find that then when I become curious about the body, that the mind is, it shifts to more of a, oh, like the mental noting is there. Oh, it's tight. Or, oh, that's this thing. Or, oh, this is. So I guess that's fine. I mean, I guess I'm thinking it's in the body, but the mind is still like participating in my little dialogue about what's going on in the body.
Yeah. It's, I think what I mean, it's in the body, is that it's embodied. Mm-hmm. Embodied, you know, the concept of embodied mind. And we often, in the West, we equate the mind with the head. And we're top heavy, whereas it's really the invitation is to become fully embodied. It's really the mind is embodied. It's everywhere. So feeling, in fact, feeling into questions in a more embodied way is much more helpful. It opens up in many ways than just thinking about it and strategizing. Doesn't open up. So we'll experiment with that. So what I'd like to invite us to do now is to just take a 10-minute bio break, stretch break, because we've been sitting for a while, and let this be a silent one. Let this be a silent little break. And it's actually not just a break. You're not off. I'm giving you a homework. And the homework is to continue to be curious about your movement, curious about whatever comes up in your mind, the thoughts that come up, just as if there was a witness in your mind with curiosity, just observing, or curious if you go to the bathroom, how can you be open, curious about your movements, about your thoughts, about your sensations, about whatever comes up in your body in the next 10 minutes. It's, how does that sound? It's amorphous, but check it out. Yeah? Okay, go for it.